The redeemed. I'm glad I'm a part of that redeemed. How about you? Amen. All right. Thank you, choir. Thank you, choir. Take your hymn books. Well, we can find it in the book. We can find it in that book, too. Amen. The song you sang while ago, 173, I think you'll recognize here in just a moment. We sang Love Lifted Me. And take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. And we're going to hopefully bring a word on you this morning on the pits. How many of you ever found yourself in the pits? Huh? Oh, yeah. We found ourselves in the pits quite a bit, more often than we have ever realized. Sometimes you don't realize you've been in a pit, and that's maybe perhaps due to our pride or things of that nature. I still hear the pages turning out there. Psalm chapter 40. If you're there, say amen. Amen. I'm going to give you something really quickly. I see it's 11:35. I'll do my best to preach quick. You listen quick. Miss Sylvia is always telling me to slow down just a little bit, and I didn't know I could speak that fast, and I don't speak quite as fast as Chris can when he's doing that auctioneering stuff. But hey, we'll try not to auction this off to you today, but we'll just try to get you to think and be challenged in your heart just a little bit and thank the Lord for what he's done for us. But we've all found ourselves in pits, and pits in the scripture are seemingly sometimes tied to dungeons, if you will. You ever found yourself in a dungeon? You can't find your way out. And we've all found ourselves in the pit. But who did you turn to while you were in the pits? Who did you turn to while you were in the dungeon? And what did you do to survive this pit? What did you do to survive and make it through? And who came to your rescue when you were down in the pits and down in this dungeon? Paul reminded Timothy that we all go through afflictions in life and that we're going to suffer in life. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, he talked about that we must go through much tribulation. He said, yeah, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In Acts 14:22, the back half of that verse says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God, understanding that you and I are going to face hardships. You and I are going to fall into the pits of life. That's what's going to happen. And sometimes these afflictions and these hardships, these tribulations and trials and so forth are going to come at the hand of sometimes non-believers. Sometimes at the hands of even, get this now, fellow believers. We're going to be in some hardships. And sometimes they can come from our Heavenly Father in order to bring about a desired result in you and me. Believe it or not, He can put us where He wants us to be in order to get our attention. Do you believe that? I do. And sometimes the pit that we're in is to put us exactly where we need to be. Can I tell you something, though, this morning? I have found out in my short life, comparatively speaking to Brother Bobby Langdon back there, That was a joke. But I have come to find out in these short years, relatively speaking, that these times are temporary. And you can take comfort in that today. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, and in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's our Savior talking. And if He's overcome the world and we are living in Christ, if we're living in Christ Jesus as a saved child of God, as a saved believer, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? As Brother Tom Gillum says, this might be a little bit over your head. We're overcomers too through Christ Jesus. Amen? That's who we are. But it's in these times of the pits that we need to hold on to the Savior and not necessarily ourselves. We need to wait upon the Lord and His rescue of us and not turn away from Him, but rather in those times we need to focus on Him. How many times have you been down in the pits and you was like, man, I got to do something of my own accord to get out of this position. I've got to make this happen. Well, let's look at what David had to say in Psalm chapter 40. In Psalm chapter 40, you've already said you're there, so I'm going to start in verse 1. This is David talking, waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be murmured. Amen to that. Amen of his marvelous works. Verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation, and I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from thy great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. May we ask the Lord to bless this time together. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we call upon your name and we thank you for this opportunity. God, I pray, Lord, as we reflect upon the pits of life, God, whether they're at our hands, whether it's a reward for our actions in life, how we're reaping what we're sowing, God, may it be just that. But God, may we see you even in the darkest of times. May we feel you rescuing us out of the deepest of holes. And God, may you receive honor and glory and power through these reflections and through these words, the things that are in my heart that I believe you put there today. God, may you use them to challenge us and to spur us on. God, to help us to continue to serve you. And thank you for the pits. Thank you for the darkest of times, because it's, Lord, when we come out of those times that we appreciate the sun all the more. Lord, we love and we praise you. Have your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You see, it's in these times that we need to hold on to him. See, we've looked at Psalm chapter 4 today, and we've looked at David's example. And what does he start with? He tells us to wait upon the Lord. Man, Brother Brad, you don't know me. You don't know the hardships that I'm going through. You don't know that I'm having to go through this. You don't know anything about me. No, I don't personally know all there is to know about you, but I know somebody that does. He knows every hair on your head, and he knows the trials that you're going through. And David, who had went through trials that seemingly we have never experienced. You ever had your children want to kill you? Have you ever wanted to? We'll keep that back. God help us. But he says to wait on the Lord. So what exactly is a pit? It's most anything that's regarding life's trials. You know, David didn't necessarily specify what the pit was in his life at this moment, although he does say it's a horrible pit. You ever been in a horrible pit? You ever been down in a pit where all you can hear, you can't hear anything else, and all you're hearing is these sounds, the things that are going on are racing around in your head, and you're wondering what's going on. That's what he's describing as a horrible pit. In fact, the word horrible is translated into something noisy, if you will, or howling winds or howling dogs, if you will. You ever been in a position like that? Where you can't even begin to hear yourself think. David finds himself in a pit like that, in a horrible pit. Even in the miry clay. Have you ever been up in the mountains, in the North Carolina mountains, and you try to go hiking just a little bit, and you get stuck in some of that mud? Hey, you ever been in a fishing hole around this place in Johnston County, and you get that silt built up around you, your boots or your waders, and you start to get up out of it, and next thing you know, you pulled your foot right out your wader? That's that miry clay. I've been racing many a time on dirt tracks, on circle tracks and so forth, and raced on different types of clay. Brother John Langdon had a track, and that's some of the best clay I've ever raced on. It was hard as pavement and as fast as pavement. Been down to Greenville in the eastern part of the state and raced on what they call that blue mold clay. Well, you ever get that in the treads on your shoes? You can't break it out. You got to chisel it back out after it dries, that blue mold clay. But he was stuck in the miry clay, and it seemed the longer he stayed in that pit, the worse his condition came to be. He seemed like he had no hope. And he doesn't talk about what the second pit in the back half of this chapter, what we're reading, but perhaps it's because of the consequences of his sins and his enemies trying to destroy him. And so what are some of the pits that you and I will fall into? It could be anything in life that we allow ourselves to get caught up in. It could be that we've got some kind of trouble at work and we're hanging on to that. It could be some kind of trouble at home. It could be trouble with our kids. It could be trouble with a spouse. It could be trouble with a parent or who's going through bad health or something like that. We could have unfaithful friends. These are some of the pits that we find ourselves caught up in. Unfaithful friends or even loved ones that turn their back on us. Maybe a pit of bad health or poor health. David's situation was pretty dire, though. And he couldn't save himself. And in verse 1, he said, I cried out for the Lord to help. You ever had a time in your life where you ever had to cry out for help? I know I have. I know that I have. You ever cried out for God to help save you from yourself even? Hey, sometimes I need saving from me. Anybody else like that in here? Yes, a lot of folks here today that don't mind mentioning that today. You ever cried out to God to save you from your sin, though? You might be here today and you never actually cried out to God to say, save me from my sin. I don't want to be in this pit, the pit that leads to hell. I don't want to be here. You know what? He's willing to save you from that pit. That's who he is. If not, if you've never cried out to him, you could still be in that pit, the pit that's going to lead to eternal destruction. So what is that pit? Anything in life that we can find ourselves caught up in. And don't be tempted to take the pit on by yourself. All in your pride. Too many times we get in that pit and we think, I've got to do something of my own accord to make my situation better. And when we're down in this position, in this pit, we're prone to find the easiest way out. You ever found yourself, hey, anybody throws a little rope down your way, you're willing to take a hold of it, are you not? That's who we are as people. Hey, it may be a little thread that's thrown down there. We'll try to take a hold of that thing just as fast as we can. We'll try to take the easiest way out sometimes. And whatever comes along, whatever's going to come along, that's who we are as people that's seemingly going to lessen our current state of being. And they could be falsehoods. They could be lies that we're trying to trust in. And it could be some kind of temporary patch that's sent our way. I deal with computers a lot during a daily basis, and we get to deal with patches all the time. And they're temporary fixes. They're Band-Aids. And that's what you and I are seemingly wanting to hold on to. Even if it means when we're trying to grab a hold of those things, we're willing to compromise. You ever been down in the pit and you're willing to compromise your faith? You're willing to compromise who you are as a person? You're willing to compromise even your integrity? You're willing to compromise anything you can to get out of the lesson, the state that you're in? Is that you? Is that you here today? I hope not. But we all fall in these pits. We want others to know, even in our own pride, we want others to know that we're not in such a bad situation, right? We want people to know that we're capable human beings, that we can get out of this all on our own. We can get out of this of our own intellect even. I'm smart enough to overcome what I'm dealing with today. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. That's dangerous, is it not? I'm trusting in myself. I'm trusting in my abilities, and that's what I'm looking to do. I can get out on my own. I'm strong enough, I'm smart enough, and daggone it, I'm good enough. That's dangerous. What does the Bible say about pride and a haughty spirit? I believe you're gonna have destruction that comes of your own pride. That's dangerous thinking. In verse 4, look at verse 4. It talks about Psalm 40, verse 4. It said, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So while you're in the pit, you need to wait on the Lord. You got to wait on the Lord. Look back at chapter 37, since you're in Psalm. Look at back chapter 37. Flip back just a little bit. Look at verse 7. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Oh my goodness. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked to pass. Look at verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, what? But those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. So when you're waiting upon the Lord, what does that word wait mean? It means that you're waiting with an intent. You're not sitting there doing something passively. Oh, maybe he'll know I'm here. Oh, maybe I'm twiddling my thumbs. No, when you're waiting upon the Lord, you're waiting with an expectation. You're waiting with a hope of expectation that help is going to show up just in the nick of time. That's what waiting is. That's what David's talking about. So I looked up the word wait. And again, in Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says this about the word wait: to stay or rest. Wow, I'm down in the pit, and that crazy man up there by that pulpit is telling me to rest while I'm in the pit. Woo, what kind of mess is that? But it says to stay or rest in expectation, to stop or remain stationary till the arrival of some person or event. Woo! I'm glad to know that Jesus passes by. I'm glad to know that when I'm in the lowest of lows, he's willing to pick me up and take me out of the horrible pits of life. One day I may be stuck in this old miry world, but one day he's going to call me up out of this place. I'm waiting with expectation for that to happen, some person or event. to stay proceedings, to hold off proceedings or suspend any business in expectation of some person, event, or the arrival of some hour. Hey, you ever heard that he's always on time? That's who he is. It means to rest in expectation and patience. Well, I don't know about you, but I've been in some thick, hard, dark times where I couldn't wait on nothing else. And then there's been times where I realized you ain't going to get out of this situation on your own. And I had to wait on the Lord. And I called upon his name, and guess what? He heard me. And he answered me. But sometimes we need to wait. Sometimes we need to wait some more. And sometimes we need to wait even more and cry out to God. Cry out to God. I have said before, and I think Brother Tom Gillum said it as well, God's purposes in our lives are greater than our preferences. You ever thought about that? The purpose that we're down in the pit is probably greater than our preference. I'm pretty sure of that. I prefer not to be in that pit, right? That would be like you as well. I prefer not to be in the pit. I prefer that it not be as lengthy of a stay in that pit. I would prefer to have no pits in my life. But there's a purpose for it. There's a purpose for some of those things, and they're a little bit greater than my preferences. Maybe you're not even a crier here today. Maybe you don't like to allow people to see you shed tears. Maybe you don't think that it's that bad, your situation. Maybe you'd think you don't actually need help. And that's that good sinner attitude. You ever heard tell of that before? A good sinner attitude, right? Yes, I need a little help from every now and then, but I'm not that bad. He knows my, what? How many of you said that before? He knows my heart. God bless your heart. Amen. God bless your heart. That's that good sinner attitude. Yeah, I need a little help every now and then. But, you know, even that's very rare. I don't need all that kind of help. I may need some help every now and then. Good sinner attitude. But I don't really need a savior. Maybe that's you today. You're here today, and yeah, I'm still a good person. And my good deeds, they're far going to outweigh my bad deeds, right? I've been helping people cross the street. I hold up traffic, and grandma passes by. I do all those good deeds in life. I'm a good person, the good sinner attitude. I may need a little help every now and then, but I'm really not in need of a savior. If that's you here today, you're in the most dangerous position there's ever been. Because you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Maybe this is why we actually need pits. So we'll cry out. So we'll cry out to God and actually realize our need in life. Waiting on him reveals who you actually placed your trust in. Maybe you're here today and you've never really been in that position where you had to cry out and wait on him. But I can assure you that times are coming in your life. I can. Because the hard times do come for all of us. But waiting on him actually reveals who you're placing your trust in. Verse 3, it talks about many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. When you're waiting on the Lord, you're actually giving your witness to the people around about you. They are looking at you to see how you are going to make it through the hard times of life. That is your testimony. That is part of your witness. Hey, the greatest mess in your life can turn out to be the greatest message. The greatest test that you're going to go through in life can actually turn out to be part of your testimony. That's what God is bringing about in you. And so maybe you need to show the world that when I am waiting in these darkest of times, I'm telling you who I place my faith and trust in. And I hope that's how you live your life. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Others are going to come to know him through my actions of trust in him. Waiting on the Lord simply means this, that you have realized that, Lord, you're my only hope for deliverance. Waiting on him helps you to reflect on his goodness towards you, just like David did. In verse 5, he says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in the order unto thee. And if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Man, I'm going to tell you, either you can begin to sit and focus on your situation. Either you can sit and do that, and you can sing that old song. What is that? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Where's Chris? Bet. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Oh, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Maybe you can sit and focus on your situation, or you can focus on the solution, which is Jesus Christ, your Savior. He is our solution today. Waiting on him helps you to reflect on his goodness towards you. Waiting means that you're simply obeying. Look at verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yeah, thy law is within my heart. He's saying in times past, I might have thought that an offering was proper to do. But now I realize that what you really desire is an obedient heart that delights to do your will. And David is just reaffirming what old Samuel the prophet told King Saul. And King Saul wanted to go out on his way. And he says in 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is the fat of rams. So maybe you can continue to do it your way, or you can do it and obey the Lord even in waiting through this time of trial and down in the pit. Wait upon the Lord. And think about how good he's been to you. Think about how good he's been to you. And just obey him in this time. And then I'd like to tell you today, when you're rescued like David, you need to make it known. Look at verse 3 again. He put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. I've been down in the pit. I've been down in the lowest of the low, and I've been down, and yet when he pulled me up, I got a new song to sing. Woo, and even praise unto our God today. Amen. I'm glad that he will do that, but make it known. Hey, do you walk around work whistling? Do you walk around work just saying, God is so good? Can I tell you the other day, and I'm not saying to toot my own little horn or anything like that. We were sitting there in Israel the other day wanting to get back, trying to get Brother Billy back and all that kind of stuff. We were expecting to stay in Israel at least another night in Jerusalem, and they called us. We were sitting down to supper about 6:30, and they said, hey, can you be ready to go by 7:10? Okay. Put the fork down, you know. And we got loaded back up, and they bust us back down to Tel Aviv to fly out that night at 11 o'clock. We get to Tel Aviv by 8 o'clock, and Brother Billy and I had their information for their tickets to be rerouted and so forth, and I gave it to them, and they got through their line, got their bags checked in, and we're standing there trying to get our bags checked in, and they said, you ain't getting on this plane. What do you mean I'm not getting on that plane? He says, you're not on this plane. I said, well, I got the confirmation number right here. What do you mean I'm not on that plane? He says, you're not on this plane. I'm not going to let you get on this plane. And we do this from 8 o'clock till about 10:30, don't we, honey? 10:40. And we're trying to get on that plane, and they ain't going to let us on that plane. Somehow, LaFonza, when they booked our plane, they booked it for us, and then they immediately deleted it. And we didn't have a place on that plane. And so through Templeton Tours and through Lufthansa, the German air group over there, they were trying to get everything worked out in the back of the scenes. And we're just, April ain't never flown before. April has never flown before, and she's never seen, and I'm not knocking her, but she did good. She did good. I'm about healed up from the claw marks in my forearm. She did good. But we're going through this trial in this thing. And I'm telling, look, she said, what do you mean they won't let you on the plane? I said, I'm looking at the man right now. He says I'm not getting on the plane. And I said, you know, and honestly speaking, ma'am, I said, I know you're on the other side, you're in the States and so forth. I said, but I'm at the mercy of this man right now, and I want to get on this plane. My wife needs to get on this plane. But we began to get a little disheartened and so forth, and time keeps wearing on. This quarter after 10, and she says, give me 5 more minutes. And I can't help but get a little worried about it. We're not going to make this plane, so we're going to sit right here in this airport and watch everybody else pass us by and get on their planes and so forth. And I began to think about that pit that I was in seemingly at the moment, and I began to think about, just like David, I began to think about how good he's been to me. There ain't no need fretting. And I lie to you not. I began to sing in myself, God is so good. I began to sing that to myself, and before I could say the first word, God, my phone rang. He's on time, ladies and gentlemen. He's on time. Even when you're in the pit, my phone rang. She said, we've got you on the plane. And just as soon as I was hanging up, they were saying, Thompson, Thompson. And we get our bags through. And we run through the airport, and we still haven't made it through security yet. We haven't gone through the scan just yet. But wouldn't you know God's in that kind of stuff as well, because we were ushered over into a different line and we walked right through the scanner, put our bags on the conveyor belt, and it was a different scanner altogether. In fact, it's one like you go into a ball game or something like. And we just went bitty, picked up our stuff and ran. And we had about 5 minutes to spare to get onto that plane. You don't think the pits ain't got a purpose? You don't think the pits ain't got a way of bringing something out in us? But you got to make it known when God rescues you. And he put a new song in my mouth, and even praising our God. Verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And in verse 5, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works. I can't help but shout and sing about how good he's been to me. And I pray that you can do the same as well. But Matthew, fire us up there, buddy. I want to show you guys something. Let me pull the screen down really quickly. I want to show you guys. I know our time's gotten away from us today, but I pray that this will help drive something home for you today. It's still green there, sir. Come on down the aisle, buddy. I think people know you. But I'd like to introduce you to a pit just really briefly. Until the last couple of weeks was relatively unknown in my life. But because I had the opportunity to go to the Holy Land, this was shown to us, and I must say that it had a profound impact on my life. You see, a lot of times we go through our lives and we say that he can't really identify with us. He don't know what I'm going through, because we tend to look at him as an old man. Our Heavenly Father is some kind of old man, old grandpa, if you will, that's too far off in a different state. That pit right there, buddy, the top file. We try to look at him and say that he is too far off. He can't understand me. I want you to go back to Psalm 88 really quickly. Psalm 88. I won't read all of it, but I'll highlight a few things for you. I challenge you to read this when you get home today, and as you're thinking about the pits of life and your situations and so forth, I want you to be thinking about this. Look at Psalm 88. And, O Lord, my God, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pits and darkest and in the deeps. Look at 7, thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. Look at verse 18, lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Jesus was in a pit. Hang on to the pictures. I'll tell you when to move forward here, buddy. Jesus was in the pit. I realize that. You don't necessarily see that in all the scripture, but you understand that he was taken captive. Our Lord was taken captive in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then to a mockery of a trial, if you will, with the Sanhedrin high priest, Caiaphas. And they had no recourse but to scourge him, or to whip him, or to punish him. They couldn't put him to death. They had lost that right years earlier. And then it says in Scripture, the next morning they carried him off to Pilate. You ever thought about what happened in between the time that he was taken captive that night And the next morning that they went off and carried him to Pilate. You ever thought about what happened? I'd like to introduce you just a little bit. Up in the top right of that picture, the very top right, you see a lot of sand. That's actually tombs. That's actually grave sites that are pointed back to the Temple Mount. I know it's kind of hard to see here, but just give me just a minute. The holes that you see in the middle of the page, that's actually a grain, where they process grain, and to the right of that is a grain silo. And this is just up on the, this is on Mount Zion, where the house of Caiaphas was. Next picture, buddy. Over here in the, you see the golden dome in the top left? Move straight over that line where the Temple Mount, the bricks on the Temple Mount point, that little green spot right there, that's the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where it's pointing out. And this is the steps right here, going from the bottom right left corner down up this way. That's the steps that lead up to the house of Caiaphas. That's a almost 3 miles that they dragged him after they took him. That's 3 miles that they took him captive, if you will. Next picture, buddy. And he walked up these steps. These are the same steps. That's from the right pictures, from the top looking down and then from the bottom looking up and going up into the house of Caiaphas. Next. And this is just some of the artwork that they're showing. Next. And that's the steps at the very top looking down them. And they've got it gated off so the people can't go down and continue to wear them out because they want this to be seen for years to come. And then some of the artwork that's there. Old Peter followed him around. You remember Peter followed him through this particular time. And that's just the artwork. That's Peter sitting there in the front. And see the lady pointing over to the side there? You were with them. You remember old Peter denied him? He said, I don't know the man. I don't know who he is. Next. But down in the bottom of this house, and this is now, it's got a great, beautiful building over the top of this area, what we're looking at. And it's a Catholic, I forget what they called it. It's a Catholic structure. Let's leave it there. But down in the bottom is still the chambers, the ruins and so forth. And this is some of the pits that were down in the bottom. This is the dungeons where they would take somebody who was unruly, who was going against the flow, who was being against what they considered to be the norm. You fit our mold. You got to look just like a Baptist, right? You got to act just like a Baptist. You got to smell just like a Baptist. You got to do all these kinds of things. You got to be a good church person. Jesus wasn't necessarily fitting their mold. Next, and this is some of the dungeons that are down below the house of Caiaphas. And it was in some of these things. These are some of the soldiers' quarters that are down there in the bottom of this. And just to the left of that is the old water cistern that went down below the ground. And they stored water in the cistern next. And then again, some of the artwork. You got to think what your Savior did for you to go through the pits of life. And this is just some of the artwork. Here he is bound and he's kneeling down. And he doesn't say a word. Next. And as we're walking down into this pit to see exactly what's going on in this time, the steps going down, and you can see the original stonework. That's the same guy on the left as in the right. And they got little caves and stuff to the sides of this staircase that they put in. And granted, this is not original stuff. This is not original stuff. It's some they had to put in here to get down to this point. Next, buddy. And they continue to go down and down, and we're going down below. This is Mount Zion. And we're going down into the mountain at the house of Caiaphas next. And this is just one of those chambers to the left, and you can see the stairs. There's another chamber there. Don't know exactly what all they were for, and I don't know that they know all that they were for, but just know that your Savior was put in something like this as they whipped him, as they wanted to punish him for not being what they considered to be a good follower, a religious follower. And there's old Ralph Sexton, and we're still going down these steps, and you can see the handrails and so forth. And this is what our Savior was put into. The steps weren't there. We're going down in the pit. We're going down into the pit. You ever been in a real pit? And sometimes we see the things in our lives, and we think that they're really bad. And as you can see, we're down in the bottom of this pit, and they've got lights there now. I want you to look at this right here. It's about 15 by 15, about 30 foot deep. Now, we came in on steps, but your Savior was lowered down in there by a rope. My Savior was lowered down in there by a rope. And they've got the windows there that you can see. The other crowd, we can only get about 30 people in there at a time in the bottom of this space. And they're waiting to get their turn to come down into that hole. And you can see how dark it is were it not for the lights. That gentleman standing right there in the bottom right of that picture is about 6'3". That's Brother Jimmy Caudill, who sings out in the western part of the state. And he's going to lead something here in just a moment. Next picture, buddy. And this is just the old rocks. Now he's lowered down into this pit. We got to keep a hold on him. We got to keep him right where we want him to be. And we've already whipped him. We've already done some scourging to him and so forth. And they said that there's, next picture, there's stains on these rocks that are down in this hole. And this is looking down from the top in this Catholic building, if you will. They have a glass bottom floor just to the right of the pulpit area. And you can see down in the pit. I don't know, that didn't do my heart too good to know that you're worshiping over where your Savior was. It just didn't do me any good like that. But you're looking down in this pit and you can see somebody's head down the bottom. But they would whip him and scourge him and so forth and just try to punish him and get him right in line. And they were so kind and so loving to him that they would take a vinegar and salt mixture, and while he's down in the hole or while he's tied over a rock, if you will, punishing him, they'd throw vinegar and salt solution on his back to make it hurt even worse. Next. This is down in that pit. There's a little pulpit to the corner of that. And of course, you can see the steps in the top right and how they built those down into this hole. But the local guys, the older guys, would teach that the stains on that rock is when the Lord's back was broken and the skin was broken and he was bleeding and so forth, that he would rest his skin on this cool rock to try to get some relief. Next. And this is a picture off the internet there. But you see, he was down in the pit. What happened to our Lord overnight before being taken to Pilate? He was punished down in this pit so that you wouldn't have to be. He was punished before being put down in here so that you wouldn't have to face the price for your sin. You ever been in a pit like this before? You see, our Savior can identify with everything that you go through in life so that you don't have to do it all alone. He was lowered down in the pit so that he could raise you up. You ever thought about, I can't get so far away from him that his loving arm can't reach down and pull me up? You cannot get that far away from him. He loves you with an everlasting love. He understands what it's like to be down in the pit. He can identify with you in your situations. You got to understand, yes, there's lights in this pit today, but in that time when he was lowered down into it, it was total darkness. Total darkness. The only way into that pit is to be lowered down from the hole in the top. And even then, they would cover it over. Total darkness. What does total darkness bring about? The darkness and the isolation produces fear and depression. And he was in total darkness so that you could be in the light. He was alone in this hole. You got to think, he wasn't the first one in this hole. He's down in this hole where many a person probably had died while waiting to get some kind of mercy out of this. You got to understand that their waists and so forth were down in the floor of this hole. And he's lowered down into this hole to withstand the filth of this world and the sins of the world that were put upon him and in his body. He did that all for you. And he was alone down in that hole so that you'd never be alone. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He withstood the filth so that you could be clean. They had no sanitation back then like you and I enjoy today. But when you're in the pits, you have to understand that the only way out is somebody that'll come by and help you and to pull you out. And sometimes you ain't realized that in your life, and you've been going through thinking you can make it all on your own. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you today, you can't make it through all on your own. You need a Savior. You need a rescuer. One day I want you to understand that I was down in the pits of life, and one day my Savior came by, and he heard my cry. You see, I was down in that pit, and I was thinking, in the muck and mire, help! Somebody help! It seemed like nobody wanted to hear me. It seems like you're going through this life and you're crying out for help and nobody's wanting to help you. But can I tell you today, Jesus passed by. He passed by in my life and he heard my cries for help. Help! And I want you to know that he extended his mercy towards me. Why? I wasn't deserving of it, but he stopped by. He extended his grace towards me and he dropped a rope down in the hole that would go under my arms and pull me up out of that hole. It was love that tied that rope around my chest. It's the same rope of grace and love that ties around you that will pull you up out of that hole as well. But you've got to come to the point where you recognize that you need help today. I was down in that pit and he heard me and he passed by and I cried out for help. And he lifted me up, and we sang that song a while ago. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Next picture, buddy. That's from the bottom looking up. I'm in total. Many of us have never been in total darkness before. Can you imagine being down in a cave, in a hole? No light, no water, no reprieve, no nothing. Next. And this is the walls of it. Hit play, buddy. And this is the walls inside of that from my phone camera, so please forgive me and forgive the quality of it today. But there's different types of rocks and veins of rocks, and it looks like blood on the wall, the veins that you see there. There's that stained wall that they say he put his back upon. And the steps leading out, a little window to a side room, what they called an interrogation room. That wasn't there. That's been opened up. That's looking up toward the top. And your Savior did all that for you. So that when you're down in the pits, you can wait patiently upon the Lord. You ain't going to try to get out of this stuff all on your own. You're going to allow him to pull you out, because you got to get to the point where you realize your only hope is Jesus. But are you there today? Next one, buddy. Martins used to sing a song that said, out of his great love, he picked me up. He set my feet on a sturdy rock. Out of his great love, I learned the meaning of salvation. Out of his great love, I had gone astray. I had lost my way when I called upon his name. Then he rescued me, and the song I sang, what a loving God is he. Now I shout his praise through all my days for his endless mercy and grace. There's no other way who has greater love, where joy I will ever say. Out of his great love, he picked me up, set my feet on a sturdy rock. Out of his great love, I learned the meaning of salvation. Out of his great love. Maybe you're here today and you've never experienced that love that'll pull you up out of the pit. I'd love to invite you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ today. Maybe you're going through the hard times of life and you haven't come to that place where you realize that I need him, because you're trying to do it all on your own. Maybe you're here today and you just need to get right with him today, and it'd be an awfully good day to get right with the Lord. During Judgment House this year, we talked about how the Holy Land would have appeared, and they were always told to build a marker, make a marker, build some kind of monument as a sign, as a testimony of what God has done in your life. But maybe you're here today and you don't have a marker in your life where you encountered Jesus Christ. There's not been a day in your life where you've bowed your head and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me, wash me, cleanse me up, come in and fill my life. Maybe you've never done that. You've never admitted you're a sinner. I'd love to show you from the Word of God how you can be saved today. And November 17th, 2019 could be the day in your time map as a marker in your history where you encountered Jesus Christ. Never fear when you're down in the pits. Just wait patiently on the Lord and allow him to pass by in his time, because he's always on time. But if you need to know Jesus, I'd ask you to come on down. Come on down and don't wait. Miss Brenda, if you would come to the piano and play some music today. Maybe you just need to get around this old altar and thank God for the pits that you've endured in life. Did they bring about a desired result that would glorify him in your life? Or did they bring something about in your life that you really can't speak of today, you're not too proud of? I'd encourage you to come on down to this altar and just get right with the Lord and thank him for what he's doing. And if you need saving today, he's ready, willing, and able to meet you down here by the front and save your soul from the pit of hell. Don't wait. He endured hardships for you so you wouldn't have to. And the ones that we go through are temporary. Would you trust in him today? Would you renew that trust in him that you've allowed the world to rob you of and your joy that you have in him? Would you allow him to do a work in you today? The altars are open, ladies and gentlemen. I'd encourage you to come on down and think about how his love has lifted you up. Everybody stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians ought to lead the way down toward the front today. Come around this altar. Have a little talk with Jesus today. I've been through some hard times in life. Boy, when I was in my early 20s, it was then that I realized I can't continue to go in the direction I was going because I fell in a pit of my own doing. And it was at that moment when I realized, just like the prodigal, I had to come into myself. Maybe you need to do the same. But I cried out to God, and I asked him to forgive me, and he did. And now look where we are today. We're here worshiping you with you. Because I could have still been in that very pit today. Could have been under the jail cell. But we're here worshiping with you today. And God's got a purpose for everything that you go through. His purposes are greater than your preferences.